Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Oilers are away shorthanded. Spring pass. It's McDavid. And right in. He's hammered. We'll see. Penalty shot for Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid is center stage on Matt Murray with 2:35 left in the second period. Here comes McDavid. No delay.
I'm just trying to sharpen things up a little bit. You know, my game felt good before that. Just been paying a little bit extra attention to those little small details. And, you know, it's been working so far. And that's all you can do, I think, is just going forward, just keep focusing on the little things.
John Forslund.
Your guy.
On NBC
your
Sports.
Man.
Matt Murray stops Connor McDavid on a breakaway. Kept the score at 2-1. Penguins win 3-1. Matt Murray, the number one star for the second consecutive game, 38 saves, and telling Kristen Tappan, who I really like.
Kristen?
Isn't it?
Catherine.
Catherine Tappan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
You are a big
like
fan.
Her?
You are a huge
I
fan of Miss Tappan.
Her first name right. Do you think that if I went up to her and got her name wrong,
oh man, you're in
that
trouble.
Would be an inglorious start?
Yeah, especially if you go, Kristen, I'm a huge fan of your work. Like, you immediately hit the huge fan line after the wrong name.
Yep.
Like, that's when people, I've done
that's
a
like
few.
The time I called Shelly Smith Shannon Smith to his face.
Yeah, not
and he
good.
He was complimentary of me.
Not good.
And I called him Shannon.
Wait, Shelly Smith?
Yes.
Shelly Smith of where?
Of, like, I'm talking about ESPN, I think.
Oh, okay. Shelly Smith?
Wait. I'm a mess already. You know I'm unhinged right now because this Valentine's Day thing has me absolutely destroyed.
Shelly Smith? What?
Who am I thinking of right now?
I don't know. Is it a male ESPN
yes.
anchor?
I don't know, no. I don't know. I give up.
Well, no, it's like I go on a radio station down in Atlanta where our first boss here is now the boss there.
Yeah.
And his midday team likes me a lot during football season. I come on. They're actually fun guys to talk to. They have never gotten my name right. It's Chris Mueller every time. And they reset the interview like seven times.
And it's too
our guy, Chris Mueller.
Too
and
far
one,
gone to say
One
Mueller?
Of these times I want to just be like, hey, guys, it's Mueller, by
yeah,
the way.
I don't.
At that point, I think I'm Chris Mueller to
I'm
them.
I'm still buried, man. Oh. I'm still buried from this Amanda thing.
Dude, you couldn't think of anything?
I did think of a few things, but I don't think I came up with enough stuff to make up the gift deficit.
Listen, I know your wife
she
pretty
gave
well.
Me 7 or 8 very thoughtful presents.
I know your wife pretty well. I have her number in my phone. I could text her right now. I could say, Amanda, I think you sandbagged Andrew, and I don't know if I like that maneuver.
So last night, I tried to make up for it.
Okay.
We booked a trip to Jamaica.
That's pretty good.
But I tried to express that to some friends, like, hey, I think I made good on Valentine's Day. I booked a trip for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the response I got was, that's not a Valentine's Day present. That's just you getting to enjoy something with your wife. That's not for her. That's for the
both of
you guys.
So it has to be solely for her. What
and
about
dinner tonight is not just for her. I'm not going to watch her eat.
That would be creepy. That would make dinner not even that fun for her.
So what I've got so far are flowers.
Nice flowers?
Yeah, I mean, pro flowers.
Tempting touch pajamas, perhaps?
Tempting touch pajamas.
Okay. Maybe how about a 4-pack of Fathead's Hop Juju?
I can't just load up on everything from the radio station because she starts to get cynical about that.
I can't imagine why. Honey, I have USA Insulation coming to the house tonight. Happy Valentine's Day!
Where those things came from, how I acquired them.
Honey, I'd like you to come and see your new Jeep Wrangler from Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
I'm really just, based on some of the social media response I've gotten about this, I'm really thinking about just
punting,
yeah. Conceding. You don't win every holiday.
Is there a pair of shoes, a piece of jewelry she likes?
I beat her on Christmas, I think. This year, maybe, was it? This Christmas?
You can't. Oh, hold on. Here's the whole problem. You are thinking about this like a sports guy. Somebody has to win. Somebody has to lose. If you get her five presents and you put as much effort and thought into it as you could, and you genuinely wanted her
Chris,
to be happy.
I didn't get five presents.
Okay.
You're creating a straw man here. There is no.
I'm trying to create a positive straw man
there
for you.
There are no five presents.
I'll tell you what. One of the great things about parenthood is the completely obliterated idea of expectations for Valentine's Day. Lennox woke up this morning angry at like 4:50. Mm-hmm. Alex didn't feed him till about 5:40. We're trying not to feed him overnight. You know, he's a little young for that, but we want him to sleep through the night. But she eventually gave in because he was mad. He woke up again at 7:30. Not good. I fed him. I put him down for a nap. Stays down for maybe 30 minutes usually. He stayed down for 2 hours and 20 minutes today. And Alex and I got to just lay around and not do anything and relax and rest. And it was the best possible Valentine's Day present I could have gotten her, is that the kid happened to sleep for 2 hours when he usually sleeps for 30 minutes.
So you guys have reached the point in the relationship
where zero expectations.
Material.
Nothing.
Objects don't matter
Nothing.
Anymore. That's nice.
I don't even think a card will be exchanged among the two of us. No cards, no gifts. I'm making like turkey meatball subs tonight.
Sounds exciting and very romantic.
I mean, that's
that,
it.
No, that shows that you're comfortable with each other.
Oh.
You can eat a messy food on Valentine's Day. By the way, I'm starting to now piece together what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
It was not ESPN.
Okay.
But it was sports related. I was at KDK TV to do a sports showdown.
Stacy Smith.
Stacy Smith.
I had
there.
A feeling it was Stacy Smith. So you got his name wrong twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shelly Smith. Oh, and then I realized it was Shannon.
And the guy's like a.
So you were going through every vaguely. You were going through every vaguely androgynous name.
Yeah.
Shelly, Stacy, Shannon, all could be men's or women's names.
And I struck out.
You went over three.
I know. I just
Kershaw threw you 3-12 to Sixers, and you flailed at him.
I good on it, and I just probably made things even worse. Oh, well.
Anyway.
Matt Murray last night, number one star.
The opposite of Andrew Filippone.
Bailed
right
out Sid. Crosby at the end of that power play screws up. More on that later. More on Sid and McDavid later. And it creates that breakaway the other way. Letang has to commit the penalties, and you heard the penalty shot.
That's as charged up as that building has been, by the way, audibly.
Boisterous.
All year. The boos did not stop raining down from the time the penalty shot was awarded until the time Murray flashed the glove.
Murray has stopped 88 of his last 90 shots, and you just said it, glove. And that's his bugaboo. That's his Achilles heel. He made a big glove save one-on-one against the best offensive hockey player on the planet.
Is that your opinion?
That's his too. He said.
Oh
it
no,
the game.
I don't think that was necessarily his opinion. But more on that later. Matt Murray, by the way, you know what I didn't like? I saw it on Twitter. I don't think I'm creating a straw man here. I didn't love people saying, "Man, McDavid shot it right into his glove." You know what part of being a good goalie is? I think he knows. Matt Murray's not stupid. He knows people talk about his glove being his weak point.
Wait a minute. What bathroom stalls of the internet were those takes coming from?
I know. People throwing down like the not wanting to give, well, it's the Flurry people probably. But I saw a few like suggestions that Murray got lucky because he shot it right into the glove. To me, Matt Murray was zoned in. He moved with him. He let him think that the glove might be vulnerable, knowing he'd probably go there. And if you set a trap for somebody like that, to me, that's elite level goaltending. I know that my weakness is the glove. I know you know that. I will try to bait you into shooting it there because I expect it.
Are you a Murray believer yet?
I've always been a Murray believer, and here's how I classify myself. If Matt Murray's healthy, I believe in him. That is a massive caveat, though. Like, one of the things I don't like in sports is when people say, or when people try to say, you can't use his injuries against him if you're, you know, questioning a guy's worthiness of a big contract or whatever. Yep. Yes, you can. It sucks when a guy is really good and injury-prone, but that is a consideration to make. When Matt Murray is very obviously healthy, and therefore in the lineup, I believe in him. Because I have seen, and people who are in the know better than I am, have told me that a lot of his weak games this year have come when he was trying to fight through an injury. He seems healthy now, and he's played great hockey. His second period against the Flyers, it's a random game, it's game 56 of the season, might have been the best period of hockey he has ever played.
28 saves. Yeah.
So when he's healthy, I believe that he will be one of the best handful of goalies in the league. But that when he's healthy part is a huge, it's just dangling there.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in Murray yet. I'm a believer in big game Murray, and last night felt like a big game because it's Sid versus McDavid, and I think everybody gets charged up by it, the fans, their respective teammates, the coaches even, treat it like a bigger game. Monday night, you're coming off a four-game losing streak. You're rivaled. The Flyers feel like they're getting back into it. It was a big game. Saturday, even though it's 1 o'clock, will feel like a big game because it's another team that's a litmus test team in Calgary. So I would expect if Murray plays, he'll play well against them. The problem is we're 2 months away from the playoffs. And the issue, as I see it, is if you're the Penguins, I believe you're in a real quandary with Matt Murray. It's in one way, it's a good problem, but it's still a problem. You believe in Murray. You believe in his ability to lift up his game and elevate his game and help you win a Stanley Cup. Be possibly even the driving force behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Give you Conn Smythe-level goaltending in the playoffs.
Yep.
He's like, it's like having Madison Bumgarner on your baseball
team. If we get there, we have the trump card.
Can we get Bumgarner into a big game, please? Because I'll take him over Kershaw and Scherzer and any other elite pitcher.
He goes out there and turns and just goes ice water in his veins.
It's like what? It's like having Smoltz back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't winning Cy Young awards, but in a big game, you knew he was going to
Jack
bring
Morris.
The good. Sure. I like all those examples. So you've got that with Matt Murray. The problem is you'd like to have him kind of on ice. We know he's fragile. We know he gets hurt. Let's be very easy on him over the next 2 months. Let's just make sure he gets to the playoffs in one piece. The problem is you're the second wild card. You're 3 points ahead of Carolina, and you're 4 points ahead of Buffalo. And you also don't want to be the second wild card. In this one instance, where you get into the playoffs matters. You don't want to play Tampa Bay in the first round and then have to deal with the Toronto-Boston winner in the second round. So you've got to win games to, A, get to the playoffs, and, B, get yourself into the right spot. And Murray's, I think, necessary for that. I know what Casey DeSmith's save percentage is, but
no one trusts him going into – no one says we're going into a series with Casey DeSmith as our guy because Murray's injured and we feel good about our chances.
Chris, not just a series.
If a game.
How many games are left now? 27? 26?
26.
And I mean this. In an ideal world, I might want to play down the stretch. If I didn't have to worry about getting into the playoffs, I might want to play Murray 15 games and DeSmith 11. You know, something close to that. Almost a 50-50 split. 55-45 between the two guys.
Yeah.
But you can't afford to play Murray 15 games and DeSmith 11
right now. So let me ask you something, because I agree with that, and I agree especially with the Atlantic Division thing. You don't want to mess with that any more than is necessary. You'd love to be, ideally, in first or second in the Metropolitan.
Yes.
Do you think that even if the Penguins were flipped right now in the standings with the Islanders, who are in first in the Metro, you'd feel great about it? There's 5 points separating them. Like, I would feel like I had to do the push and give Matt Murray the whip if he were a horse, even if I were in first place right now, because I would feel that my hold on it was somewhat tenuous.
Yeah, I hear you. Tampa doesn't have to worry about that.
Well, that's where I'm glad you brought that up, because that's where the Penguins constantly being good and having this core intact for such a long time, healthy for the majority of it, despite Crosby and Malkin occasionally around 11 and 12 being banged up. I wish they would be better in the regular season, like emphatically great, but they don't feel the need to be that because they've already proved a lot in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Tampa, in a weird way, needs to be great in the regular season because they need the easiest possible path because they keep gagging in the playoffs. I wish the Penguins would try to put the gas pedal down, just because then I think you could get to this point and functionally coast.
They have 4 games in 7 days, and they're going to end up having to play Murray in 3 of those. If they had a cushion, I think they would have split it 2-2. You know, maybe DeSmith plays in Philly. Murray comes back and plays last night. Murray plays against Calgary, and then DeSmith plays against the New York Rangers.
Let me ask you this, though. Be that as it may, you've been a person that said, until Matt Murray can stay healthy for a whole season, like, I'm not going to believe totally. Like,
right.
I get him to the playoffs, which is what you said today. Don't you, on some level, want to see him playing a heavy load down the stretch here just to see if he can handle it? That helps. That goes in the evidence folder as to whether or not Matt Murray can be your guy. Can he handle high-stress regular season games down the stretch and shoulder that burden physically?
I think the horse is out of the barn on that.
He's only 24 years old.
For this year.
If the horse is out of the barn already, then is it ever going to go back in the barn?
Well, this season is not an experiment in trying to find out if Matt Murray's built for the regular season. At this point, it's trying to get him to the playoffs in one piece. That's priority A. He's got to be healthy, and if you work him to the bone over the next 2 months, based on his track record, I'm not confident he gets there.
Then in a weird way, the...
It's tough. It's a tough spot, man.
Then in a weird way...
He's playing great, but it's not just... It's not just, what is it, roses and
sunshine
chocolates.
And roses, yeah. Well, then in a weird way, the do you believe in Matt Murray is almost in and of itself a question. Do you believe that Casey DeSmith can be good enough to get Matt Murray to the point where everyone believes in him?
You know what I believe in right now with them? I'm going to tell you next.
Oh, really?
He made me some money last night, my friend. 412-928-9370 on this Valentine's Day. That is the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Eric Hagman will send a love letter from Bradenton at 240. It's the PM team.
Crosby's in the slot. Drop pass. Letang. He'll dust it off. Chris Letang sings it wide. Teddy Bluger on a change. Letang out of the corner. Off Koskinen, rebound, scores! Teddy Bluger! Right place, right time.
Yes, sir.
Theo Teddy Bluger. On the spot. Thanks, Forsland.
The fan time, yes, NBC Sports. Time brought to you by Weather Seal. It's 2:30. Eric Hagman going to join us in 15 minutes from Bradenton. Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider, at 4. That's What's on Tap. Brought to you by Fatheads Brewery for Bluger. The game-winning goal last night, that's 3 goals in 7 games. Played a career-high 13 minutes last night. And he is quickly becoming a Penguins fan favorite. He's absolutely a favorite of mine. We did a fantasy draft at 6 o'clock last night. Chris, Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider, and me. And I took down the ringer, Mackey, and I took down Mr. Know-It-All, Chris Muller.
You took down Senor Gut.
It was a great feeling.
You were the first person to win one of our drafts, picking from the first spot. No one has won in any of these previous drafts. And let's cut right to the chase. I parted with my 5 singles to you when I walked in today. Silently, I threw them at you.
Yeah.
But I'm a gentleman, okay?
Mackey hasn't paid yet.
Well, he hasn't seen you yet either.
Mackey also took umbrage with the idea that in our draft,
public.
Goals should count more than assists.
Why? Because he had Dreisaitl.
Yep.
He had
McCann. Yep.
And
he had Rust. He had three of the four goal scores.
And he feels that they should be weighted heavier. Now, here is my problem with this. And of course, because I feel like Mackey is more likable among his people than we are, the people he's tweeting this out to want to like him and want to dislike us or take his side. I just think that's the way it is.
Wait a minute. You think Penguins Twitter likes Jason Mackey more than us?
I think that's a safe assumption.
I don't think it is.
Why not?
Because Penguins Twitter hates Rob Rossi, and he was a Penguins beat writer.
Jason is not Rob Rossi.
All Penguins beat writers aren't created equally?
No, I don't think Sid is known to hate all of them like he hates Rossi.
Wait a minute. Sid hates Rossi?
We talked about this. Sid admitted to Josh Yoey to having a burner account for Twitter that he got rid of because Rossi said something that made him so mad he actually thought about responding to it and breaking his own cover. I would say it's a safe bet that Sid and Rossi are not exchanging platonic Valentine's cards.
Do you think that creates a divide between Sid and Gino because Malkin loves Rossi and Sid, according to you, despises him?
No.
Do you think that the two of them have sat down and discussed it? Malkin says, this is why I like Rob, and Sid says,
Sid says to Malkin, like, that Rossi, I really don't like him. And Malkin, in his manner of speech, just goes, Rob, good guy. You know, something like that.
When the draft started, Jason knew that it was going to be points.
All points
and not
equal.
Goals. So he has no right to complain.
That is my overall thesis here. Jason maybe makes a more compelling point, but does so after the fact and after the die was cast. So say I have only 3 points and 3 of my points are all goals like his were.
Yeah.
If I'm coming at this and Jason happens to be the guy that wins, he's not giving me the time of day. We all entered into the contract of said bet knowing that it was strictly points.
And
even the lowly second assist, the Oscar Clefbaums of the world, for example, although his second assist was a beauty. We knew that they all counted the same. You can't try to change the rules after the fact because you're a little raw about
it. That's why I was so mad that Malkin got suspended, because the NHL changed the rules. They suspended for intent and not result. I have a take on Bluger and why it's taken him so long to get here. And now that he is, he's making the most of it. I think it's one of those situations where he's no one's guy.
You don't think he's like a Sully guy a little bit?
He wasn't drafted by Rutherford. He was a Ray Shero pick in 2012. So Rutherford has never put his name on the Teddy Bluger pick. Bluger, after he's done at Mankato State, plays for the American League Penguins in 2016, but it was after Sullivan got the call.
Yep.
So he's never played for Sullivan, other than like training camps.
So he's had no chance to forge the trust or get on the good side of it. Especially with, I think it's especially the Sullivan thing, though.
But it's also Rutherford, and here's why. Rutherford picked Sprong. That was his player.
Mm-hmm.
So he pushed and pushed and pushed Sprong into the lineup because he believed, he trusted Sprong. That was his first big pick, or one of his first big picks, him and Kapanen. Bluger just kind of gets stuck. And it, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a little bit of Neil Huntington and Neil Walker, where Walker was not Huntington's guy. And look, Littlefield picked McCutchen, but you're not going to make McCutchen wait his turn because he's a superstar.
McCutchen broke through. Like, he was unavoidable if you were Neil Huntington. You couldn't make him wait
for
anything.
And Neil had to earn it more because Huntington had no attachment to the player.
And Neil wasn't the player McCutchen was and didn't really have a great... Everyone likes to revisionist history the whole Neil Walker thing and say it was all the franchise's fault. Neil Walker never acquitted himself particularly well at any position where the bat played until he became serviceable enough at second base that suddenly a guy who could hit 15 to 20 homers looked valuable.
I think
there.
I'm going to get a Bluger jersey.
Because he got you 5 bones.
Do you
well,
think,
10 bones.
Do you think if the next time we're at Cambria, which is for the Sharks game on the 21st, if I showed up in a resplendent Bluger jersey, do you think that would bring the house down? Is he starting to get into a cult... nerdy Penguins.
I'll tell you what, you get him throwing down about 3 more goals in the next 5 or 6 games, and the Bluger jerseys will be out in force.
Blugs.
Bluger caviar. I know it's not perfect, but I know he's still like 3 years older than Sprong, which is wild. It kind of speaks to the whole took him longer to get here.
Yep.
Every time I see a guy like this come up and start showing that he can actually maybe play a little bit and that maybe he's earning Sullivan's trust the hard way or Rutherford's trust the hard way and seal of approval, that's the kind of guy they need.
Yeah.
Like, I hate being corny.
They need cheap young labor.
Cheap young labor that produces. You know what Jake Guentzel started as? Shockingly good, cheap young labor. And now he is not cheap, so he has to remain good all the time.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Coming up next, an Eric Hagman postcard from Bradenton. He's on the field. It's 80 and sunny there right now. And we're going to pick his brain on the Pirates. Biggest story to start camp. There's also a rumor that he's living in the same house as Richie Walsh of KDK TV sports fame.
Dude.
I need to know what that's like. Bouchette at 4, a big Steelers story at 3. It's the PM team.
This return to pitch program, act the surgery. So to come in here fresh, ready to go, a bucko from day one, I think there's a lot of benefit to it, a lot of value to it, and to be with his teammates from the beginning of camp also, for their benefit and his.
Clint Hurdle on Chris Archer getting spring training and some time to adjust. This time around, unlike getting thrown into the fire last year, it's time for a spring training report brought to you by my friends at WeatherSeal Home Services. Eric Hagman has been living large in Bradenton, Florida, our intrepid reporter embedded with the Pirates at Pirate City, and he joins us right now. Clint Hurdle dropping a bucko there. Eric, do you go with buckos at all? Is that part of your vocabulary? You like buckos?
I'll mention the occasional bucko. It's a term that it's not overused. It sounds pretty neat.
Where you are, Eric,
sounds pretty neat.
Where you are, since you're about 45 minutes, maybe an hour south of Tampa proper, Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, what have you. When you say Bucks, is there any confusion?
No.
No football, no people going, oh yeah, Jameis Winston, what a bum. It's all Pirates.
Actually, Chris, it's not part of my day-to-day vernacular. I mean, I don't walk around saying Bucks. other than, hey, buddy, can you spare a couple of them?
Yeah, Chris had to
Andrew,
pay me five.
Yeah, Andrew can spare five because I had to pay him.
All right, Eric. Today was officially day two of workouts, but you've been around the team for a little bit longer. What is your big takeaway so far?
My biggest takeaway is the swagger that these starting pitchers on this team have. Musgrove, Archer, Williams, and Tyone. These guys, they carry themselves like they know they are one of the best starting fours in all of baseball. And it's not an aloof attitude. They're all the guys are easy to talk to. But they know they're good. They know they're coming off good seasons. And Archer knows he's done it in the past and feels great about this opportunity in Pittsburgh. But that is the one thing that just jumps out at me. When every time I watch these guys, the way they walk on the field, the way they conduct themselves in the clubhouse, this team, these four guys, it's brimming with confidence.
Eric, I'm interested to hear that about those guys because the production was there to some extent, but they're going to need to be the best because I feel like this team is going to be lacking maybe in offense. I feel like the questions are far greater when it comes to their actual offensive capabilities. So are the position players walking around with their chests puffed out?
I'll tell you, the guy who is Josh Bell. I talked about this the other day on the air. Guy's huge. He has gotten huge. Whether that's going to translate into big home run numbers or a big season remains to be seen.
You mean buff like his old man? Like that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
He walks around in these skin-tight T-shirts, and, you know, I'm in the Steeler locker room from August until December, and I see a lot of big people. Mm-hmm. This guy is just—he just reeks of muscle.
Well, his dad looks like he bent iron bars in the circus.
Oh, yeah, I think Josh could do that. Well, you know, again, like I said, what does that mean when you're up there trying to hit a curveball? Probably not a whole heck of a lot. But, you know, they need a big season from him. Yeah. Cervelli told us, you know, he expects Bell to have a monster season, was the way he put it. Corey Dickerson's got to come back and have a similar type season. Polanco's got to get healthy and have a good season himself. Barte, you know, we know what he can do. What are you going to get at shortstop? Well, they didn't get a heck of a lot of offense from Jordy Mercer. So whether or not it's Gonzalez or it's going to be Newman or they end up bringing somebody in from the outside remains to be seen. Frazier at second base, I think Frazier is going to give him a lot of pop. He, you know, his second half of the season was really good. And their catchers combined for 22 home runs last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm painting the optimistic picture for you. They don't have the one big bopper. Maybe Gung can give them 25 to 30 home runs, but heck, we don't even know if he can hit major league pitching again.
Yeah.
So there are just so many questions.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions here. The next one is about what happened yesterday. So Cook asked you a question, and then Starkey came back and asked you the same exact question?
Yes, he did. Imagine that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, we've never had that happen before, huh, Eric?
Never. Nope.
What made it such a big topic that Joe felt like he had to come back around to it? What was it?
You're asking me to think for Joe.
Wait. You're acting like it was a big topic. It was that Joe had no idea Cook had asked it.
But what was Ron? That's what it was? What was Ron's question?
Hold on, Eric. I'll stop Pony right there. Would you not say that 99% of the time, Starkey asking a question that has just been asked is not him following up, but him not realizing that the question had been asked because he was in his own little world up in Buffalo, mentally?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, the other day was a classic when I was in there doing an update, and I don't know, I had a story on something, and I'm reading it, and he's looking right at me while I'm reading the story. And then we come out of the sport, and he goes, oh, I've got an update here, and read the exact same thing.
Eric, what is it like? You got to tell us about, you know, this living arrangement we've been told about. So is it an odd couple situation with Richie Walsh?
No, actually, Richie makes for a great roommate. Jeff Roop, who's his videographer from Channel 2. These two great guys. I mean, you know, it's I can't complain at all. We watched the Penguin game last night.
Give me a dude count from Richie during the Penguins game. Over under 10.5 dudes.
There were none.
No dudes.
No.
I would have lost that bet.
Oh, man. Vegas had that one set at a strong over.
So you get NBC Sports Network at the
The place
spot.
Itself is
good.
Not bad. Joe and I played Tecmo Bowl against each other last year. I brought my little Super Nintendo down.
Yeah, we did. You know what's been great is that I haven't missed a Penguin game yet because I got Saturday's game on the Tampa Bay Network on their station.
Yep.
And then I got NBC on Monday and Wednesday. So it's been outstanding. It's like I'm back home.
Eric, I got a serious one to ask you about one of these guys, and everyone's very cloak and dagger about what his actual role is going to be with this team, reliever, starter. I don't know what it is. It's because I remember him in 2013 just making so many good hitters look so bad so regularly. What do you think about what you've seen so far, if you've seen anything from Francisco Liriano?
I mean, I've just seen him throw a little bit of pitch and catch.
How does he look physically? Just in general.
He's in good shape. He's in good shape. You know, he's a big man. He really is a big man. And but he looks good. I don't think age has taken its toll on him in that way. His role on this team, Clint Hurdle hinted strongly yesterday he's going to get a crack at that fifth starter spot. Neil Huntington kind of threw cold water on that by saying, you know, they want to look at Brault and Kingham and Lyles in that fifth spot and that they see that Liriano is more of a, you know, a middle reliever or maybe a situational left-handed, you know, pitcher late in the game. But I what they plan to do, I think, is let stretch him out. And he could get some extended innings down here, and then they'll go from there. But I think Hurdle, you know, he remembers what Liriano did for him for 3.5 seasons, and three of those were superb seasons.
You can follow.
So,
sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
I just think if Clint has his way, unless somebody just jumps way, you know, ahead of everybody else, I think Clint would love to go with him as his number five.
You can follow Eric on Twitter, ESH714. That's ESH714 for updates from Bradenton. He's also putting stuff up on our website, 937thefan.com. If you missed it, Eric caught up with Francisco Cervelli. And, you know, last year you had disgruntled Pirates and David Freese and Josh Harrison who got to Pirate City and blasted the organization, and Harrison addressed the trade rumors head on. How did Francisco Cervelli handle all the discussion this offseason about him getting shipped to the Dodgers and the Pirates doing their best to try to pawn him off on another team, Eric?
He deflected it. He took the politically correct stance, and he did it in an irreverent way, too. It was like, you know, he said, you know, I can't control it. If they want to trade me, they can trade me, but I want to be here. And I think he knows and sees the handwriting on the wall. He's in the final year of his contract. He's one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid player on the team. And, you know, they've got Diaz behind him. I just think he knows that they probably will not re-sign him or make an attempt to re-sign him and would probably attempt to trade him at some point during the season if the right deal came along. But he was in really good spirits. Contrary to what we saw last year, like you just mentioned, He took even controversial type questions, serious questions, and turned them around and had fun with it. So, I mean, I think that's a good sign, too, because when he plays that way, he's a better ball player. He really is. When he's out there and enjoying himself, he's one of those type of players that his personality, I think, leads to success on the field.
Eric, Clint Hurdle is one of those guys that I feel like when I'm watching him, I can detect without knowing anything else about the team whether they have a winning record or a losing record, just based on hearing him for like 10 seconds. I assume because it is still February, he is in very good spirits.
Yeah, he is. There were a few guys yesterday who maybe asked him the wrong question.
Oh, no. Already?
Phrased it the wrong. Yeah, yeah. I think we've already mentioned his name once before here today.
Richie.
Dude, I can't believe he did that to me.
What kind of tree was he barking up, Eric? Where was he trying to take the conversation?
Yeah, where was the savvy young news hound sniffing around?
It was just Clint gave him one of those, come on, you know, like he does.
Yep.
You know, it's the first day of camp. But here was the highlight.
Okay.
This was the highlight of yesterday. We started off the interview with Clint, and it was the stock first question. You know, first day of camp, what was it like to be out there? And Clint's having fun with it, and he's going on doing his little monologue. Next thing you know, Richie's phone goes off with waves, and it says, Richie, you're near your destination. and Clint just walked away. He said, oh, my, and just walked away. Then he came back. But that was a great first start because Richie had just landed. They had just gotten there. Next thing you know, his phone goes off and interrupts Clint.
Was he wearing a fluorescent shirt?
Yesterday he was.
Yeah, that's the Richie I know and love.
And he's got his sneakers on today, which are dynamite. So. Oh.
All right, Eric. Well, enjoy Pirate City. They let you just kind of walk around and go field to field. Do you have nice access there or no?
Yeah, we've got great access. We can get inside the batting cages, not you know where the batters actually stand, but it's like double, you know, protected. We can get inside the first wave, so you can get some nice pictures, get some nice video, that sort of thing.
Well, again,
they rolled out the red carpet. Jimmy Turdinich and Dan Hart do a fabulous job down here. They're in really strong preseason mode, I got to say.
Wow.
All right, well, pass along our best to those guys. I know how much they care about us, so we appreciate that little plug.
Your names have been mentioned a few times, I can tell you that.
Oh, by Hurdle?
No, those guys. I think. I had a fabulous time down there. I had the walking tour of Lecom Park from Jimmy T last year when I was covering spring
training.
Interesting.
Yep. All right, Eric, well, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, don't be strangers.
We won't. There you go. Eric Hagman, embedded with the Pirates.
E from the planet E.
You think Ron is having... I feel like Eric was kind of the guy that kept him sane. With Joe around. Yeah.
Well,
a buffer, if you will.
So when Joe goes, and does all that crap, he'd look at Eric. Eric would look at him, and they would bond over the fact that neither one of them was Joe. It was a shared experience, so to speak.
So the morning show is doing this Don't Burn Your AB jersey promotion. And tomorrow you can come to our studios, Foster Plaza 5 in Greentree. Stop by tomorrow during the show to donate your shirt to St. Vincent de Paul. Get a $10 Yinzers and DeBerg certificate and have a chance to register for a signed Juju Smith-Schuster jersey. Thanks to Total Sports Enterprises. So that's here tomorrow in Greentree.
I support the don't burn the jerseys, give them away. Plus, you can get like a brown as a Jagoff shirt, I'm sure, from Yinzers. I'm sure
there's some
shirt that has him on it that denigrates him.
There are. I've seen him. I was just at the Strip District this weekend. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Sweetheart of a deal with auto show savings in February. High of 49, a low of 41. Coming up next, another star wide receiver has hit the trade market. What does that mean for the Steelers and Antonio Brown? Who has more trade value, AB or this other diva star wide receiver? We will debate that next. It's the PM team. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.